Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We have been talking about the mission of Jesus, and we're shifting gears now to talk about the people of Jesus. And if you haven't totally caught on just yet, we've been talking a lot about Jesus since last October. And one of the reasons why I wanted to cover this is not just because Jesus is just great to talk about at any time, but because there are things to understand about his life, his ministry, his impact, and his teachings that are foundational to who we are, how we live our faith, and how we do everyday things. I've been convinced since day one of my spiritual journey that his truth is meant to connect to every part of our lives. So one of the greatest questions we can ask is, which particular truth is most applicable for me in my life today? Which is a great question, but because the Bible has so much stuff in it, it may not always be evident where we need to go in order to receive what we need. So my goal has been to try and connect the reality of who Jesus is, his ministry and his teachings, to everyday life. And I think if we can't find a way to make that connection, we're either in the wrong business or I should be fired, because I just think that the connections are automatically there. So as we shift gears to talking about the people of Jesus, of course, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the church. And the scripture has a lot of different metaphors and ways to describe his people. So this morning, I want to focus on the idea of us being the body. So all across the world, throughout time, from the days of Jesus till now, there has been this entity of people known as the church. Church with a capital C. Not small C, as in this church on the corner, and that church downtown, and that church out in the country, but capital C, church. And the chief metaphor the scripture uses to describe the church is the body of Christ. You ever just thought about how strange that is? To think of a group of people as a body. Like the body's complicated enough, right? When things are working well, you don't know. Right? Because you can walk and talk and eat and sleep and rest and work and do all of these things. And when your body is cooperating and doing what it should, you don't ask questions, you don't notice. But try driving a vehicle with a broken foot. Or try eating when your throat is really sore when you're sick. When the body's not working well, it's noticeable. But when it's working well, it's not noticeable. So what is it about being the body that is key for us to understanding what this Christian life is all about? So first, I want to talk about a spiritual ecosystem. So if you were to look up a definition of ecosystem, there's two that I found that were relevant and helpful. The first is a biological community of interacting organisms and their physical environment. You ever just, who are the nature people? You just love being out in the trees and at the lake, or you're going on walks. There's four of you. Are we doing something wrong? Maybe we should put the cell phones away for a couple of days and remember that there's a world around us. I'm not sure what's happening. Maybe you're just shy this morning. That's okay. But think about being in any natural environment. I remember Denny and I took a small retreat to Vernon, to a retreat center there about 7 years ago. And this is like some pathways and some walkways, and you're kind of on the side of the hill up towards Silver Star Ski Resort, I think it's called. And there's a wonderful walkway, and there's like a home-style, home-built wooden bench in the middle of this kind of rounded area with like trees you couldn't even wrap your arms around. And I remember sitting there just watching and observing, and it's nice because the kind of trees that grow there are not the kind of trees that grow here or where I grew up. So it's kind of nice to see the different species of trees. As I'm sitting there, I've got my camera just in case I see something cool like a deer or an animal or something like that. And I'm sitting there on this bench, and I've got my eyes closed, and I'm just praying, and I hear this funny sound. It's like a buzzing sound. It almost sounded like there was a chainsaw going 4 miles away, and you could just hear this buzzing sound. And I'm like, what is that? And how rude is that to interrupt my peaceful day? And then I caught on. It was a hummingbird. So I'm sitting in this sort of like this rounded open area surrounded by trees, sitting on this bench with this little pathway, and I'm trying to find this hummingbird. And it's like I would see it, and pew, it's gone. And I would kind of listen for it, and then see it again, and pew, it was gone. I'm like, I'm gonna get a picture of this hummingbird. Do you know how hard it is to zoom in on a hummingbird with a DSLR camera? Incredibly, incredibly difficult. So I was patient. I'm like, I'm going to do this. Maybe it's just male stubbornness, but I'm going to do this. So I finally zoomed in on the hummingbird. He finally stood still long enough on a branch that I zoomed in and I took the picture. And I'm like, yes, I got it. But I didn't want to look at it right away. I wanted to stay in the moment. So I stayed in the moment and had a wonderful prayer time and then walked back to where we were staying. And as I scrolled through the pictures on my camera that I took, I found the picture of the hummingbird. I don't know if this is a one in a million, a one in a billion, or a one in a trillion. But I got a picture of this hummingbird with his proboscis tongue sticking all the way out. So you see this little hummingbird with a big, like, perfect profile image, like, this long tongue just ready to, like, I don't know, find syrup or sap or pollen or whatever it is that they eat. And I'm like, I don't know, that's got to be like an award-winning photo. But somewhere in the transition of bringing that to the computer and to an external hard drive, I don't know where that picture is. Technology is great. The users, not so great sometimes. But a spiritual ecosystem. So if an ecosystem is this natural environment of interacting organisms, right? Trees, leaves, hummingbirds, insects on the ground, animals that come and eat the insects. I mean, you've all been in science class. It's all interconnected, right? The food chain, the trees and the foliage and the oxygen and the water, all of that stuff working together to provide this environment for flourishing. And so the second definition, a complex network or interconnected system. The body is probably the most complex ecosystem on planet Earth. Did you know you have over 1 million nerve endings in your eye alone? Like, that's incredible. Like, who could weave together 1 million tiny fibers that make up your optic nerve cluster? Like, anybody who believes that just sort of evolved out of chance, it takes far more faith, in my opinion, to believe that than to believe it was designed and created to be that way. The body is the most complex ecosystem there is. So let's read from Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Continuing on to verse 9 to 16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's a lot to pack into a small amount of verses. But I hope you're catching on to the fact that to live in community as the body of Christ is to live in one of the most complex ecosystems imaginable. And that is true both of our bodies physically, but it's also true of the church in a spiritual way. So if you're brave, turn to the person next to you and say, "You're strange, but I like you." Here's why that's true. We are all so different from one another. In the same way that a toe is not an ear, an eye is not a foot, there's parts of our body that are interconnected but with different purpose, different shape, different design, different texture. The parts of our body make up one complex ecosystem. And as a spiritual group of people called the body or the church, we are so intricately designed and made, and yet we're made to fit together. Sometimes the ear has no idea what's happening with the foot, and that's okay, but it's still connected, right? And when everything is working the way it should, it's moving along in a way that's not noticeable. But when something's not working well, it's noticeable. So as a body, part of what it means to exist together is to understand that the differences between us don't threaten us. That the differences in who we are, how we're made, our personality, our shape, our design, the gifts that we have, these are all meant to be what they are so that we fit together seamlessly into a complex ecosystem. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll get into that in a little bit, but Paul talks a lot about the body and how the ear needs the hand and the eye needs the foot, and the ear shouldn't be jealous of the role of the lungs because the ear has a different purpose and a different function. So each one of us has a different role to play, different gifts that we're meant to use to serve and to nourish and to help the rest of the body. It's a wonderful picture because it's both complex but also simple enough for us to understand. I am meant to be who I'm designed to be. When I try and be something or someone else, then I cause trouble. How many times is trouble caused because we're trying to be something that we're not? We're trying to be more like so-and-so, or a little bit less like so-and-so. When we focus on the other parts of the body in a negative sense, we're dismissing our own role. When actually we're meant to inhabit and enjoy and find a sense of peace in who we're made to be. So one of the greatest questions a believer can ask is, who was I created to be? Not what was I created to do, that comes later. But who was I created to be? The contours of our personality. Why is it that, this is one of my favorite questions to ask. Why was I born in 1970 in Saskatchewan? Why was I not born in Norway in 1312? Why was I not born in 2107 in Zimbabwe? I don't know the answer, but I do know that I was meant to be born when I was and where I was into the family that I was. I mean, in his perfection, God gets to choose those things. But it's an exercise in understanding that there's something very specific about each one of us in the sense that to the very detail of your name, the family you're born into, the time you were born into, the geographical location in which you were born, where you move to as you adopt careers and families and community situations, none of these are coincidental or accidental. There's a shape to who you are, and that shape and that design is both meant to be a blessing to be enjoyed at a personal level because God made you that way, but also at a corporate level because who you are and who you are designed to be is automatically a blessing to the people around you. So now turn to that strange person next to you and tell them that they're a blessing. Did that land for some of you? That you're actually a blessing to the people around you just by existing? What if God's greatest purpose for you isn't to change the world? What if his greatest purpose for you is just to be exactly who he made you to be and enjoy it? That sounds really weird, doesn't it? It almost sounds selfish. The Westminster Confession of Faith, anybody heard of that? So the Westminster Confession of Faith developed 300-400 years ago, and I think it's in the Presbyterian tradition, I can't exactly remember. But it was sort of like a statement of what's most essential in the Christian life. And the Westminster Confession or Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That sounds pretty cool to me. One of the best ways we enjoy God is by being ourselves. We can't enjoy what is true or what is right by pretending to be something that we're not. We can't experience true peace if we're trying to be someone we're not meant to be. The harder I try to be like someone else, the more agitated or restless I feel because it's not who I'm meant to be. And so it is with each one of us as different parts of this wonderfully complex ecosystem called the body. So let's talk about the body and its parts, the spiritual ecosystem. As a group of people, as a group of believers, we are interconnected, interdependent, and interpurposed. I made up that word by myself. I'm so proud of me. Let's explain what those mean. We are interconnected. As a body, Scripture says that Jesus is the head of the church, that he is the head of his body. So every function in your body is controlled by your brain, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Like, anybody ever just sit there and think about breathing? Like, nobody really forgets to breathe unless there's something wrong with your body and you need help, right? When you fall asleep, you don't go, gee, I hope I don't stop breathing when I sleep. Your brain is in control of that breathing system, and praise God, otherwise we'd never be able to sleep, and I love sleep. So we are interconnected in the sense that we are parts of one body controlled by the mastermind himself, King Jesus. So he moves the parts and he moves each piece as it's designed to be. So 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even though the body is made up of, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. We are interconnected because, one, we're part of this body, the church that Jesus formed on the day of Pentecost, but also because we share the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in you is the same as the Holy Spirit in me. You don't have a different Spirit than I do. We share in the same Spirit who nourishes and gives life and guides. But he will nourish and guide each one of us in different ways according to what part of the body we are. Anybody a teacher out there, like a school teacher or spiritual gift of teaching? Okay, hallelujah, I see that hand. A kindred spirit. How many of you, the idea of teaching somebody else is like death? Do not put me in front of people to speak. Okay, are you not thankful for the people who are teachers? I'm glad it's you and not me. That's one quick example of what it means to play these different roles according to how we're made. Have you ever met somebody who is just exceptionally good at showing hospitality? You go to their home and it's like you've got 5 beverage choices, you've got a comfortable place to sit, and the room is decorated nicely, and there's like fresh baked buns, and there's cake in the oven, and there's homemade ice cream, and you're like, this is like Wonder House. This is like the family from heaven just dropped down to make people like me just feel good about life. But there's people who don't have that gift of hospitality. I'm going to pick on my wife because she's not here and it's easy. She's wonderful, but she does not have the gift of hospitality. That's just not her function in the body. Not that we never have company, but like we'll be halfway through a visit. She'll be like, I never even offered you coffee. Do we have coffee, honey? Like, it's just not how she's wired. But man, when she prays, things happen. It's very, very cool to see. I'm like, don't worry, sweetie, I got it. Can I get you a coffee or a tea? I don't bake buns yet, but maybe one day I will. Just probably mostly for myself. Because they're so tasty out of the oven. The body has many parts. And when we live into our own design in that body, not only do we experience peace, but the body itself is nourished. When the teachers teach, when those who are hospitable show hospitality, when those who are prayer warriors are actively praying, when those who are the encouragers just buzz around the foyer and come into your homes and just bless you with words of kindness and truth. 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So when I was 20 years old, I wish I could say that this was a far more glamorous injury, but it really wasn't. I was playing recreational badminton at Bible school, and I went to twist for a backhand, and I twisted on my right knee. And it didn't really hurt, but it felt funny. And so I sat down on the ground, and I couldn't actually straighten my knee all the way. It kind of felt like there was resistance, but it didn't really hurt. I'm like, oh yeah, something happened. So I go see the doctor. He's like, yeah, you probably tore your meniscus. We'll do an exploratory thing, and if we need to clean something up, we'll clean something up. So I go in, and you know, like they put a big black arrow to show which knee it was that they needed to explore, and I'm thankful for that. Wouldn't want a scar on my left knee when I come out of a surgery like that. So they took out a bit of my meniscus cartilage, and I carried on with life. Well, about 7 or 8 years later, I started to have problems with my right knee. So I went to see a doctor about it because I didn't even really think. I was young, you know, like when you bounce back a lot easier, so I wasn't thinking that it was connected to this earlier injury. So I go see the doctor and I said, well, you'll probably see that they had to remove a little bit of my meniscus. He says, a little? They took the whole thing. I'm like, what? That's news to me. I just got kind of shipped in and shipped out as fast as possible, and so I had no idea that they had taken out the entire, like there's two pieces. They took out the entire outer side of my meniscus. So by that time, I was starting to rub bone on bone, and so I would intermittently get inflamed and limp around. And the older I've gotten, the more I've actually limped on my right knee, to the point where as I limped, but the whole way that I walked would shift. You know what happened? My hips started to get sore. My back started to get sore. And it, you know, not just natural aging, but like because I was walking differently, it was putting stress on other parts of my body. When one part suffers, other parts suffer with it. When we're functioning well, when we draw close to Jesus, when we live into his design for our lives, when we activate that in faith in the world around us, the magic happens, things click, we have a sense of community and purpose, and people are built and encouraged, and community feels strong and purposeful and intentional. But at the same time, when things aren't going well, it has ripple effects as well. So when somebody's going through a difficult season, a transition season, or a season of mourning, or loss, or a career change, or empty nesting. There's all sorts of things. Things can kind of turn rather quickly. And those things aren't just personal. It's like the bullseye. It is personal when we go through those seasons, but it also has this ripple out effect in our lives and in our spiritual body. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It just means that sometimes when things are out of balance, there's some part of the body that's not doing well and needs some extra care and attention. So I think that's one of the reasons why Scripture talks a lot more about how we treat one another than it does about having a perfect theology. It's good to have a good theology, but it doesn't mean anything if we're not treating the people around us the way we're supposed to treat the people around us, or living into our own design. So we're interconnected because Jesus formed this body and we're connected by the same Spirit. We need one another. In the same way that muscles need oxygen, the muscles can't get oxygen by themselves. So the lungs breathe in the air, the oxygen is transferred to the blood, the oxygen goes from the blood to our muscles, and the heart pumps the blood. I mean, that's just a very, very basic biology lesson. The heart would have no blood to pump if the blood couldn't get oxygen from the lungs. Does that mean that the lungs are better than the heart, or that the heart is better than the blood, or that the blood is better than the lungs? No. They all actually work together to keep this thing living. I'm pretty thankful that there's little responsibility on my plate other than to keep it nourished and maintained as well as I can. We need one another. So it is with the church. As everyone follows Jesus, uses their gifts, and loves one another, we are spiritually nourished. Some people are just great at nourishing others. Encouragement, prayer, people who lead our Bible studies and our prayer times, it's fantastic. We're nourished through prayer when we pray for one another and with one another. We're nourished through the Word as we read it together and live it out. And we're nourished through the Spirit as He works in our lives and through our lives into the lives of the people around us. Quick question. just to kind of drive the point home. If you were on an island all by yourself, no other human being, how much could you grow spiritually? I just like asking weird questions. If you're on an island, how much can you grow spiritually? Let's say you've got a Bible and a coconut tree and a spring that gives you water. You could live on this island forever. How much would you grow spiritually if you're by yourself? Would you grow a little? Would you grow a lot? Somewhere in between? I would argue that you would grow a little. Right? If you've got the Word, you can observe and know things about who God is. You can draw closer to Him without anybody else around you. However, the best growth in your spiritual life is connected to your relationships. How do I know? Well, think about what Jesus says, the most important thing in the world. The most important commands. Love God, which you can do alone, but the other one is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm convinced that the best opportunities for growth are in your relationships where there's the most testing. Maybe that's your spouse. If you're married, turn to your spouse and say, I love you, but you test me. No brave souls? But tell me it's not true though, right? Can't convince me it's not true. As we live out what we read in the Word, as we live out what it means to be part of this body, our relationships are the testing ground. Again, that's why the Scripture talks more about loving one another, forgiving one another, honoring one another, showing hospitality to one another, encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens. It talks more about those things than it does just about anything else. Which tells me that this whole idea of how we relate to God and how we relate to others stands at the pinnacle of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're like, sweet, that makes it so much simpler for me. Because I've been trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to do that. Don't worry about those things. Others of you are like, oh man, don't tell me that. I got lots of relationships in trouble right now. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You're part of the body. Allow yourself to be nourished by Jesus. Let the heart pump the blood. Let the lungs get the oxygen. Let the blood do its thing. That's both a physical thing and a spiritual thing. You're in good company. Chances are the people around you are having just as difficult of a time figuring this out as you are. So, we have grace. Here's one of my most important ways of thinking about this reality of our relationships. We can see people for what they do, or we can see people for who they are. If we can make that transition to see people for who they are and who they're designed to be, we've got a shot at getting past the relational problems that we experience. As soon as I start seeing people for what they do, then my expectations of them increase to an unhealthy level. But as soon as I see people for who they're designed to be, then I praise God because their design is wonderful. So it doesn't matter if the person in front of me is dysfunctional or going through a difficult time or just a rebellious person or going through a difficult season. That doesn't actually matter to me because that person has a design and that design is great. It's my job to see that design and to call out that design in people. And the more we live into that design, the more these relational issues become secondary. They don't always go away, but they don't scream so loudly. And we find a healthy way forward to get past them. It's just the way God works. It's just part of being a body together. We need one another. 1 Corinthians 12:20 to 25. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So let's put this in terms that are maybe easier to understand in our culture. If you're poor or if you're wealthy, you have equal status in the kingdom. Whether you're from Saskatchewan or Alberta, you have equal status in the kingdom. If you cheer for the Flames or the Oilers, well, if you cheer for the Flames, there's no hope for you. So, finally, we are interpurposed. My new word. We all have different personalities, life experiences, spiritual gifts, but one ultimate purpose. Ephesians 4:11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. His plan for working in your life is that you would be an influence on the people around you, and other people would be an influence on you, so that as we cross-pollinate with our personalities and gifts, we all grow together. And when we grow together, we reach maturity together. No one left behind. We all get to reach maturity in Christ as we live out this reality of being the body. And it's so much fun and so difficult at times. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Your design and your gifts are meant for the common good. You get to be part of nourishing the body around you. You might be a heart, you might be a lung, you might be a toe, you might be a tendon, you might be a nerve ending. I don't know. It'll be cool to find out. And to know that your role is meant for the common good, for this body to become strong and functioning well. There are difficulties in being the body because there are difficulties with relationship. But remember those one another passages, loving one another, forgiving one another. These are the primary way that we're meant to relate to each other. Using the right tools for the right job. We have the tools of forgiveness, encouragement, prayer, patience, honesty, humility, gentle correction, grace, mercy. These aren't just simply fuzzy feel-good words. These are actually tools. These are relational tools. Every handyman knows you don't grab a screwdriver when you need a hammer. Sometimes we just need to forgive and get over ourselves. Sometimes we need to show mercy when somebody else is having a difficult day or a difficult season. Sometimes someone just needs a little bit of encouragement to blossom like a spring tulip. We don't always know what the people need around us, but I'll guarantee you, if you try, you'll figure it out real quick. Use spiritual tools. Using spiritual tools yields spiritual results. And to use a verse that I used last Sunday, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Sometimes I just think we take ourselves and the people around us too seriously. What if we just let the people around us be who they are? Good, bad, and ugly. And wouldn't it be nice if they treated us the same way? I think that'd be fun. Yeah, you're a bit of a jerk today, but you know what? I love you. It's okay. Everyone's got a bad day. Let's go get coffee. Let's figure it out together. Instead of, what's that guy's problem? How could he be so rude? Blah, 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 blah. As soon as we start getting our dander up, then we're contributing to the problem. So let's be a body. That's not just us, because I think there's problems, but I mean, that's just what it means to be part of this complex ecosystem. I love it. I love it. It's complex, and it's messy, and it's rewarding in so many ways. Let's pray and give these things to Jesus. Lord, you are great in the way that you made your body. And there are times when we are very confused about what it means to be part of that body, because we have ourselves, our own individual needs, and how we connect with you and the people around us. And yet everyone around us is shaped the way they are for a purpose. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us the spiritual eyes to see and the spiritual ears to hear what you're doing in the people around us. We want to see you at work. We want to recognize the wonderful the wonderful nature of your design in how you've shaped us and the people around us. Our family, our friends, our churchmates, our community. We want to see people the way you see them. So would you help us to see that, to have the courage to look past even our own perceptions about ourselves or others, and to see clearly how wonderful this body actually is. I ask it together in Jesus' name. Amen.